We try to play with great pace. We try to play with great pace. Ran a lot of pick and roll, pick and pop type actions. Oh, you'll see us play. Some people look at the guy next to him and say, what the hell was that shot? Hell, I could have been Gronk before Gronk was Gronk.
Welcome back to another refreshing edition of Corn Nation's of Bangarangs and Daggers. I am your host, Patrick Gerhardt, and unfortunately, my co-host, Nate McHugh, cannot be with us tonight. He is off being busy with other adventures, and I am sure we'll hear all about them next week. With that said, we do have a special treat for all of you today. This special guest for our episode has a voice that many of you should know. Who I am talking about is the Big Red Cobcast co-host, former Corn Nation podcaster and writer, and Auburn, Nebraska's favorite son, Pat Jansen. Pat, welcome to our little podcast.
I feel like you've given me too much credit when there are two Kelsey brothers from Auburn, Nebraska.
They don't know where I live, though.
Well, it's true. It's true. They've got families to take care of, and I think they're living in Omaha now. So you know, you've got a little bit of a safe distance.
What are those guys doing now?
They work for what is it? It's a trucking company. They do like sales. They're fairly high ranking with them.
Are they with Warner?
No, I've drawn. They advertise a lot on Husker games,
gotcha.
And I'm drawing a blank on the name. But they're doing pretty well for themselves. I mean, they were smart guys always anyway.
Like, I was going to say, they were always winning, like, all-conference academic and stuff, right?
Yeah, like, they were legit smart dudes. Because Chris, like, I think came pretty close to going to Michigan, which would have been crazy. Like, that would have been unacceptable. But, I mean, he had, I want to say it was like a 35 on his ACT.
Because they have like a 20-year, like, their acceptance rate at Michigan's like in the 20s, I think.
It's
not for stupid kids.
No, not at all. It's almost on par with Wayne State.
That's good to know. And Wayne State's where you went to school, right?
It is, yeah.
That's okay. That's technically kind of up in the neck, my neck of the woods.
Yeah, I mean, Newman Grove is technically northeast Nebraska, right?
Yeah, it is. It's kind of the southwestern edge of it, but yeah, we're considered northeast Nebraska. But what years did you go there?
02 to 06.
Nice. And that's where you met your current co-host of the Cobcast, right?
Yeah. We're the embodiment of Husker fans. We're like, I'd say like 75% didn't actually go to Nebraska. Because it's the one school where you can say it really ties to the state name, and so yeah, I don't know, we fit that bill.
No, totally. And Wayne State's a good school. At least I always thought it was. I had a lot of friends who went to it who got a lot out of it. I know Tweedy's not a huge fan, but
Tweedy's not a fan of anything. I mean, other than like Lawrence Phillips.
That's a loaded subject right there.
Yeah. I feel like. I feel like there are probably better places to place your, I don't know, your passions.
Out of all the crosses to die on.
Yeah, there are probably more efficient crosses to die on. Tweedy loves a good fight.
Oh,
Tweedy loves a good
fight. And he does well. Now, one thing, you guys used to be on Corn Nation.
Correct.
And you guys have since moved on to Husker Max. How's that transition been for you guys?
It's good. Tweedy had a real good relationship with Dave from Husker Max because he did Through These Gates, the documentary, and they toured together on that. So there's been kind of a long working relationship there. There are some parts that we still keep on Husker Max and some parts that we don't, just because speaking of Tweedy, he loves certain words. Well, one word that Dave wouldn't let him say. which, by the way, I should ask, is there a language barrier, or is there anything that can or cannot be said on this one?
No, I mean, we technically, Nate and I try to keep it clean, because I think there's enough, I just for the pure fact, and that's why I wasn't worried about you coming on, because I mean, you know, I mean, we've all got salty voices, but you don't tend to use yours too much, at least on the Cobcast. But I try to, just because I know we have, you know, dads and moms who listen to this with their kids.
Fair
and
enough.
Whatnot. And I want to, we're new enough. This is like our eighth episode, so we're trying to get as much, you know, much of an audience as we can get.
I get it, so, man. I get it.
But, you know, there's benefits, you know, to swearing. I'm not anti it. You know, some of my favorite podcasts out there has tons of swearing, so it's not an anti thing, but, you know, there's pros and cons to it. But I no, don't worry about it. I mean, we're still run by John Johnston.
It's fair enough. That's, you know, that's probably the easiest and quickest answer to that question.
Yeah, no, but no, things have been going well for you guys over there. I know has your audience expanded because you've moved over?
Not because, I mean, it's continued just, so we've been going for about 5 years now. I've been a part of it for a little over, so it's been about 5.5 years and I've been a part of it for about 4.5. And the audience has been growing. Like, so it started at Husker Max, then it moved to Corn Nation, then back to Husker Max. And through all that, the audience has been consistently upward. It's a matter of, you know, we've staked out pretty clearly who we are. I mean, we've got three pretty distinct personalities between Tweety, Joe, and me. And I think people are just figuring out who we are. And it's what's great about those three distinct personalities. Everyone's got a different favorite and least favorite amongst the three of us. And it's funny because I do the Cobcast Twitter. I see who everyone's favorite and least favorites are. And it's kind of a fun experiment to just go through it all.
And Joe's been off and on for quite some time, but only in the last year has he come on full time, correct?
Well, actually, he and Tweety started it. They came up with it together. Joe and Mike, well, Joe's brother, they just kind of like alternated for a while. But Joe's busy. He's a dad and does a fair bit of acting too. So, you know, he was kind of on and off, but he's gotten consistent again. I think it has to do with that. Now we're making a little bit of money. He's like, oh, okay. Yeah. I'm good to go full time now.
Nice, nice. He's like, I can commit to this. I can justify it with my family.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fully understandable. Speaking of jobs, so you are a stand-up comedian, right?
Yeah.
And you do
show up in things on TV every now and then, but yeah.
I saw you in, you know, I think, an insurance ad about a year ago.
Remax, probably.
Remax, there we go. Yeah, it was Remax. And also, you were on the cover of an album, right?
Yeah, there's a British band called the Glass Animals. I was on the cover of their album and in the first music video of their second album. And that one was super cool because, like, they're actually just a really good band. And then they've been really cool to me ever since then, too, because basically anytime they swing through L.A., I just contact their manager and like, hey, can I get into the show? And so my wife and I basically go to all their shows out here whenever they come in.
Oh, that's nice. That's great. Yeah, no, I actually have that album. It's really came. I got it on a whim. I got it on a whim, not thinking that you were on it. And after a while, I picked up on a couple things and I pulled it out and I'm like, oh, hey, that's Pat.
Yeah.
And then I watched the video you're in and I'm like, hey, he's in that too. Okay, cool. Wow, this guy's.
It's funny. So they did an album that was 12 songs based on 12 different characters. And my character was the one that the first single was based on. And so they arranged us for the main album cover, like all of us for a photo shoot. And the guy next to me, he's like a basketball player. And he actually played college basketball and he was taller than me. But they wanted to make it even more of it because my character is kind of like a nerd. So he's already like 6'8", 6'9", and I'm about 6'5". And then they put him on an Apple box, and then they put some other old guy on an Apple box next to him, trying to make me look as short as possible because apparently 6'5" doesn't read nerdy, I guess, in photos. But I can tell you, I've been 6'5" and nerdy for a long time.
You come across as tall in the photo.
Oh, do I?
Well, just I maybe just because it just you kind of look at everybody else in the photo, and you start doing like, well, arm length, leg length, torso, and it's like, nah, you're still tall.
Well, a lot of actors are very, very little too, including the little kid on the big wheel. He was like four.
Oh, wow. So that
He's
wasn't that wasn't Tweety?
the most famous actor out of all of us, and on the cover of that album, that kid shows up on TV all the time.
Real, I'll, oh God, I'll have to pull that out tonight and look for him.
And
Jeez,
the
that's
band
crazy.
loves him, man. He is absolutely their favorite one. They did some they did a big release party that they was like a secret thing, and then they just sent it out to all their fans. And if you responded quickly, go. And so they had as many of the characters there as possible, and it was kind of like this interactive thing. And then they did a show, and they brought this kid out like he was Simba from The Lion King, just like holding him above the crowd, and
This
everybody just
kid, this
went
kid's not
nuts.
going to grow up with issues.
Well, his family, they keep him. I don't know. I've worked with enough kids out here that you're like, oh, that seems like a good stage parent. That
Oh,
seems like what
really?
you expect,
Okay.
because I've had to do enough commercials, like either auditions or actual commercials, like with kids. And there are ones where you're like, oh, they're not going to be screwed up. And then there are others where you're like, oh man, you're already screwed up. It's
You can tell that
so weird.
you can tell that quickly, huh?
I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I mean, I've only been out here like 5 years, but I don't know. I feel like you can get the vibe, because like I did a Kohl's commercial once. The only reason I got cast is because they were trying to find three people who looked like they could be related, like the husband, the wife, and the kid. And yeah, like the mom was doing homework with the kid. I'm like, all right, that seems all right. I feel less dirty doing this.
It's not like just some random kid sitting there eating a Kit Kat, and when it's time to come on, he comes on and nobody supervises him after.
No, well, they have to have parents on set.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I can imagine the child labor laws out there are probably pretty strict nowadays.
Yeah, it still wouldn't be a thing I'd want to have my kid ever do, though.
Yeah, understandable. Do you, okay, so you do stand up, you do a little acting. Is there anything else you do out there?
Well, I mean, everyone, there are three things everyone says they do out here, except my wife, who's an academic, but like she's finishing up her PhD. But I'm a writer, actor, comedian, and then podcaster. I guess that's four things, and everyone says they do those things. It's just that, how often do you get paid to do those things? I also have a job at an institution that has a Division I athletics program, but I don't work in the athletic department. I used to work in college athletic departments, but I work doing communications for an academic institute at USC.
Oh, nice.
That's my day job.
So you're kind of technically a Trojan.
I guess
Yeah. At least you get paid to be a Trojan. You're just like the football players.
I have. Yeah, exactly. You see them, for as many students as they have, it's really not that big a campus. And like I saw like Warren G's dad or Warren G's son, who plays for the team. He came into my building one day, and then that blind long snapper, who they did a big story on ESPN.
He's been
I
on
see
College
him.
Game Day a few times.
Yeah, I see him walking around with his dog a lot. Why am I drawing a blank?
I can't think of the guy's name either.
Well, the quarterback, Sam Darnold, there we
Oh,
go.
okay.
Would see him around campus a lot, and then right after he got drafted, he came back to like he's got a pretty distinctive look. He looks like kind of a lightweight offensive lineman. He's just gigantic.
Really? That big?
Yeah. Well, he's got a big round face too. It doesn't look like a quarterback's face.
Still has his baby fat.
Yeah. Well, he's just got like, I don't know, a giant bone structure of a jaw that is like, I don't know. If someone had decided to turn him into an offensive lineman, he would have had the frame to be able to do it.
Well, if anything happens to his shoulder or arm or whatnot, he could always, just put on another 50 pounds and probably go for it.
You know what? I'm sure the Jets will be totally cool with that.
Oh God, the Jet. Yeah, he's with the Jets now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh God, that's gonna be weird. That's gonna be weird.
He had a solid start to the year last year, and then kind of tapered off because he's a Jet. Like, that's just how those things go.
Until they get that organization, that's probably how it's going to be. But
hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant, super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Anyway, we're a basketball podcast, so we should probably talk about basketball.
I suppose. That's a good idea.
Pat, you are a huge Nebraska ball fan, am I right?
That's correct.
What got you into Nebraska ball?
Well, I mean, I've played every sport as a kid, and I was just a Nebraska fan growing up. Everything that had the Nebraska name on it, I would root for Nebraska. And I'm also like a bit of a hipster at heart. And so I root for the teams that are somewhat underdogs. And so, I mean, I like Nebraska football, but like there's never been that success of Nebraska basketball. I'm just like more invested in it because I want to see it because it's never happened. Like, I've seen Nebraska play in five national championship games like that. And I've been alive, I guess, technically for six national championship games because I got in under the wire for the 83 season.
Ooh, but how many days?
I was born in September of 83.
Oh, okay. So a few months. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I was born just days before Nebraska hung 84 on Minnesota.
Ooh.
But yeah, so like I think there's the longer Nebraska's gone as the only power conference team once they became the only power conference team without an NCAA tournament victory, and then the longer they've gone without that, it's almost created like more investment. It's like, oh man, I want to see that. And Tweety knows it, and so he tries to claim that he's the biggest Nebraska basketball fan.
Dude, he's not. He doesn't fool anybody. Dude, we all know it's a joke.
No, yeah, absolutely. But for whatever reason, it still like stings my heart.
So basically, Tim Miles was your ideal coach in that aspect. A little bit hipster, a little bit of underdog. You know, quirky, you know, never really got over the hump, convinced you. He was great at convincing you to invest in the program. So, yeah, you know, he really tugged at you, man.
Yeah. Well, there are a couple things with that. One, I think he, for all of his faults, what he did great is he taught Nebraska basketball fans how to be basketball fans. I think the Nebraska crowd became better under him, and I think they'll be better for Hoiberg for that very reason. But also, I like Tim Miles because while I was still working in sports after college, I was the news and sports director at a radio station in Wayne, and so I traveled with the Wayne State basketball teams throughout the Northern Sun Intercollegiate Conference, which Southwest Minnesota State is a part of, which is where Tim Miles was. He and Greg McDermott coached against each other in the NSIC. So, like, I knew those gyms and those routes that Tim Miles was traveling in Division II and just kind of had a soft spot in my heart for him for that. And then when he came on to the Cobcast, like, you know, he's a jokester, and I like him because he gave us the time of day twice. Because before we upgraded our studio and our equipment, there were some phone line problems, and so we just had to to hang up. And then when he gave us an interview a second time, I was like, oh man, he did not have to do that for a little rinky dink podcast. And he did. And he did promise me that if he was ever out in LA, he'd do a comedy show with me. Problem is, that didn't happen before things fell apart at Nebraska.
It could still happen.
But I still
happen.
Feel like he'd do it if I talked to him. Yeah.
I got a feeling he would, like, too. And honestly, like, that was – I remember that podcast when it came out. It was not only a great podcast, but it was kind of one of the ones in my mind that kind of brought you guys up to the next level.
Oh, thanks, man.
Because it's one thing to bring former players on. There's a lot of podcasts out there who bring former players on. But to get an actual live Division I, any type of coach to come onto your podcast, because I've reached out to a few coaches, media personalities, and because of their contracts, because of the companies who are they with, they can't come onto outside media recording, you know. So it's tough to get somebody like that on there, at least in my experience. But I'm a nobody in this. You guys at least have a track record. But so the fact that you guys brought on Tim Miles, I thought was huge. And if people on here have not listened to that episode, go find it. It's on the Cobcast archive. It's just a really great insight. It's basically who you expect Tim Miles to be.
Yeah, no, he was great. Like, if he could have mailed that in, and there are some people who sometimes do, but like, and we try and. I feel like we keep people off balance enough that it's hard for them to mail it in because we're just, I don't know, we're just there to BS and have fun with people. We're not like going for probing information, but
tell that to Harrison.
but there is an extra level, an extra layer to try and get someone who's working in the athletic department. Cause I used to work as a sports information director, like I know I say this on the Cobcast a lot, but like at VCU and at the Patriot League and places like that. And so I kind of am somewhat familiar with like the sort of patterns with how you go about getting people on a show. But you know, when it's a former player, you can kind of cut out the middleman. You can just, as long as you can get a hold of them on social media, you can just contact them. And it's because a lot of how we get our interviews is just cold calling, basically, and saying who we are, what we do. But, you know, with Tim Miles, you got to go, or with anybody who's an acting coach, you've got to go through the gatekeepers at the university.
You got to talk to Seamus.
Yeah. And Seamus did well by us. And so, I mean, because he could have swatted us away pretty easily, too.
And I think, and I've been told this by a couple, that the SIDs at Nebraska are actually really good in comparison to a lot of college athletics.
Oh, yeah. Like, Jeremy Foote has always been really good. So he's from Wayne, too. Jeremy Foote is the baseball contact. And so, I mean, I don't know. Everyone I've dealt with has been super professional. I've only worked with a couple of the UNL sports information directors, but yeah, I know from just my own experience working as a sports information director, because you have to work with other teams, sports information directors. Some are way cooler than others, you know, because you've got to exchange information and.
Well, you're the gatekeeper of that team or that athletic department, and any, you know, good or bad information, if it gets out and you don't want it to get out, it's on your hands. So you've really got to be protective over, you know, who you let go out, what information you let go out, verifying things. And that could lead to a lot of people being very insular with how they treat outside sources. So the fact that you get that type of interaction from Nebraska Athletics, I think, goes a long way.
Yeah, well, and I think it's a matter of knowing probably who they trust for those types of things. Like Tim Miles, when Bo Pelini was still around and not, you know, shall we say, super outgoing, they used the hell out of Tim Miles in that athletic department. And I think, you know, they knew there was no worry of him embarrassing the university in any way. So they, as long as he had the time, they were willing to let him go and do whatever.
That's awesome. I never realized. I mean, it explains so many of the interviews he did, but he, okay, so Miles is gone. Fred Hoiberg's in. What are your initial thoughts of Hoiberg before he coaches a game?
Man, Nebraska just decided to play big boy basketball. Because I think it's clear to everyone who's follows college basketball at all that the resources are now there for Nebraska. And as long as you get people on campus, they recognize that it's a good city. It's a good campus. It's got tons of resources for the basketball program. And then you just need that space and that ability to develop talent. And you know, that ability to develop talent is the face that helps draw people there. And, you know, there was always just the thought, I think this is going to change the hires for a lot of Power Five programs that maybe haven't had traditional basketball success, like your Vanderbilts or say like a Cal Berkeley. You know, they're gonna swing for the fences, because that, I don't know, man, like, there was always just this justification to Nebraska fans. I think it's what's made the baseball hire a little bit weird, because Nebraska's just decided they're going to go out and get whoever they want, whenever they want. And there's a level of realism involved in it. Like, if he didn't have the family tie, and if there weren't a lot of millions of dollars attached to the contract, probably none of this happens. But there was the effort rather than, I mean, I loved Tim Miles, but an immediate settling for a guy who got to the round of 64 at Colorado State. There's a big difference between that and a guy who's been to the Sweet 16 and has coached in the NBA. It's a huge, huge, huge step up as far as effort in the hiring process.
And probably confidence on top of that. Nebraska's probably finally at a place, or at least has the administration with the confidence to move forward and the ability to actually throw money, like you said at the beginning. That's something historically Nebraska's never been in a comfort level to do.
No, well, I mean, that Big Ten money is being put to use, that's for sure.
Yeah, luckily we came into the conference with the ability to utilize it right away, and we didn't have to throw it towards debt when we came in. That was huge, and I think that's exactly why we got Scott Frost with the money we had, and it's exactly why we got Fred Hoiberg. So this next year he's gutted the team. There's one guy from last year's team we even played, Thor, and it's a bunch of unknowns. From what you've seen, from what you've heard, from what you've read, what are your thoughts on this team this early in the summer?
Well, I love the way Hoiberg is a teacher. I don't know if you've watched any of the videos that Nebraska has posted up of him coaching. Just so, like, even-keeled, too. He's an instructor, and so I think he's going to make all of these guys better. Now, the big part for next year, it's an intriguing roster, and I think it could be really fun. And it'll just be how quickly do they gel. I wish all of them would be able to make the Italy trip preseason. But, you know, obviously that's not going to happen for a variety of reasons. Like Yvonne is going to still be playing for the French U20 team. I think because the schedule is so weak to start out, they'll have a chance to build some momentum. That's what Hoiberg did in his first year at Iowa State. And really the big thing is, and you see it too right now with Scott Frost, you try and keep as much of that momentum from the hire as possible and prove to people, hey, this is year one. We're just laying a foundation, but it's a good foundation. I think recruiting would be even a little bit higher for Frost right now than it is if they had gone 6-6 or 7-5 last year. But there's still that excitement. They need to take a leap in year two, or else you will start to see recruiting fall off. And I think what Hoiberg's trying to do is just get in that 500 range, be in the conversation of the NCAA tournament and say, man, we've got a couple guys sitting out. We did all this with a brand new roster. Come on board and you'll see it's going to blow up in a second.
So you agree with pretty much everybody else that this is going to take 2, 3, 4 years before we see any major fruit from the basketball program.
No. I think they could make the tournament next year.
Oh, straight I up. Think, okay.
I don't know that they will. I mean, really, you just have to sniff how good the Big Ten is. You just have to sniff 500 or be a shade over that to get in the tournament. Now, their non-conference schedule isn't that good, but if the Big Ten is good and they've built momentum, I mean, that's – and then you steal some wins against some better competition like Michigan State, then it is possible. Now, whether or not the Big Ten is good enough for that next year, who knows, because Juwan Howard and Michigan, they'll be a huge question mark. And that right there was one of your top level teams. So I don't know what to expect from the Big Ten. I don't think it'll take 3, 4 years. I think to really see it humming, it'll definitely need to be year two. I think they'll fight like hell and be competitive next year. It's just a matter of seeing how the pieces fit together.
Hopefully some of those early, really bad games turn into blowouts, or at least give the guys enough room to develop and to at least learn how to play together before the Big Ten slate hits. Because really, I mean, you look at that schedule, I mean, you got the Cayman Islands Classic that could turn into one or two decent games, but there's nothing on that schedule until Creighton. And I haven't even looked at how good Creighton's going to be yet next year.
And I couldn't really tell you either. I think the big part of where the schedule or where the roster will gel and what's going to be kind of a big question mark. Matt Abdelmassi's talked about this. They don't like to do grad transfers too much because that's their last year. That's their last go around. They kind of want to be the guy. And there are a few more grad transfers on this roster than I think they would normally go with. And at least one or two of them will probably have to come off the bench next year. So it'll be real, real interesting to see how that sort of dynamic plays out. I would love, I know it's not going to happen, but I would love it if Derek Walker could somehow get a waiver, because we just need another big body. But I think Shamil Stevenson will be interesting because he'll at least play starting in January, and there's a real good chance it sounds like he'd get a waiver to start out at the beginning of the year. He's a wing, and, you know, most of Nebraska is going to be a wing team, but he's 6'6", 245. I mean, he might be a guy who's expected to kind of bang up against some of those.
He's got the size to compete in the Big Ten.
Yeah, even though he's technically a guard, he'll be able to bang with some of those Michigan State kind of guys in the Big Ten, and he may be asked to do that. Because even though Kavis has a couple inches on him, Stevenson has 45 pounds on Kavis. Kavis, it's a little bit like, I'm drawing blanks on names tonight. Come on, what's the name of our Australian guy? Jack McVay.
Oh, okay.
He's built like McVay.
Another fellow podcaster.
Yeah, yeah. Tweety came up with the nickname of because of his last name, McVay. He's like, is it bad if I call him the Pinnacle Bank Bomber? They're like, go ahead and say it if you want, man.
It worked.
It did.
It worked well. that makes sense, and I agree with you. In terms of, I guess I should say, who's going to come out as the starting five? Who do you think's going to possibly be starting that first game, or do you even think we have even a close idea until they go to Italy and we actually see them on the floor?
I don't even know that we'll know after Italy. I don't even know that we'll know by the time the Big Ten season starts who that starting five is going to really end up being. I could see Yvonne, the French kid, being kind of by necessity our big man. But I also could see them say, you know what? Neither he nor Kevin Cross, neither of those guys might be ready in their minds to start game one. I could see them just say, screw it and roll out five guards. I don't know. Like, there were a lot of good things said about Deshaun Burke last year. I think Cheatham is kind of, because he was the first guy to really commit, like new guy to commit to Hoiberg. I think he's kind of now fallen under the radar for people, but I think he might be the one guy who I really think we see start. Well, so I say one, and I'm about to add two more, Cam Mack and Gervais Green. I mean, the athleticism of Mack and Green will just be, it'll be really hard to keep those guys off the floor.
Isn't Mack a little green, though, in certain areas? I remember reading that from a few different.
I mean, he's a pure point guard, yeah. Who's like probably the closest thing to a pure point guard that we've got on the roster. I think Gervais Green can absolutely play point guard, but I think they want to probably try and keep him off the ball a little bit.
Now that makes sense. That makes sense. In terms of Fred's offensive scheme, he's a heck of a lot different than Coach Miles. He's fast paced. He's up and down the court, and he loves to shoot the threes. How do you think that's going to transition into the Big Ten?
Well, I mean, it's a little bit like I keep bringing Scott Frost and football back into it, but I think it's a little bit like that because people question, will you be able to do that fast paced spread, go, 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 go type offense in the Big Ten? And, you know, Scott Frost said, I'm hoping they'll have to adjust to us. And I think it'll be the same with Hoiberg and Nebraska ball, because I don't know. I just think that, I mean, there will be times that Big Ten teams will be able to exploit weaknesses and deficiencies from Nebraska. But if they're able to do that, Nebraska will be able to turn around and do that right back to them. And I think it'll be really interesting to see the chess matches of teams that, you know, roll out the big bangers in the paint trying to compete with Nebraska. If Nebraska can get the skill that they want to run this offense, they're going to be real tough to beat. Because, sure, you might be able to drop a bunch of big guys into the paint all the time, but you know what? If you've got the skill to go possession for possession, 3 points beats 2 points every time.
If you're shooting 40% beyond the arc, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like that's what Hoiberg wants. He wants guys to not only shoot them, but to get guys who can just basically just bomb those suckers out there. And when you do that, when you're shooting 40% from the three, those big guys underneath the basket aren't going to be doing a whole lot.
No, and especially if you get up and down the floor, eventually you're going to take away some of that offensive game from those big guys because they're going to get gassed. And I think if you have just enough guys like Yvonne and Kevin Cross, if Yvonne can really round his game out and Kevin Cross can get into prime game shape, you'll have enough of those guys that you can kind of roll them out and hold their own down low with the Michigan States of the world. Like Yvonne, he is like, for a 17-year-old, that guy is built.
He's huge. And there's a lot of unknown with him too. There's not a whole lot of video, at least that I've seen, of him play.
Well, I saw him in the U18 Euro tournament, and there wasn't a lot of diversity to his offensive skill set. It was basically catch, and he had some good moves underneath the basket, but it was everything point blank. But man, he rebounded the hell out of the ball. He's a physical dude. Some people have pointed out that he'll probably have to tuck the elbows in because he can swing those around a little bit, and we're quite familiar with foul trouble with our big men at Nebraska, so hopefully that can get taught out of him.
Yeah, last thing we need is another Alameda just throwing his body anywhere he wanted.
Hell, I was thinking as recently as Roby.
Yeah, no kidding. Speaking of Roby,
Oh yeah, transitions.
Yeah, transition. That was perfect. Beautiful. You. It seems like you know what you're doing here. No, Isaiah technically got drafted by Detroit, ended up at Dallas as the 45th pick in the second round. 49.
I knew it was mid 40s.
Something like that. Anyway, he's going there. He's going to play NBA ball one way or the other. What are your thoughts on this? I don't follow the NBA well at all.
I do. I like the NBA. I think he's going to spend some time in the G League. Rick Carlisle doesn't play young. He doesn't like to develop guys really on the floor. Luka Doncic just happened to be already really developed as a player, as a teenager. So they didn't, you know, so it wasn't a big deal. They could trot him out on the floor a lot. I think Roby has a real chance of being a player. It's just a matter of, can he develop that confidence? Because he's got a well-rounded game. He just didn't show it as much by the end because he looked rattled at times out on the perimeter. But it looked like he lost some weight during the pre-draft process. I hope he can get a lot of that back because his physique by the end of his time at Nebraska – was a true NBA body. He looked really young in the pre-draft process, but I think he's got a real chance. It's just a matter of, you know, development and where he ultimately ends up. I know he's with Mavericks right now, but, you know, in a lot of that early career portion, guys move around, you know, a lot of 10-day contracts here and there. So, you know, hopefully he can find a good place to develop and a good place to stick. Cause he seems like a good kid. He's a hell of an athlete and you know, it'd be good for Nebraska basketball. I just didn't do the math in my head until Reese Davis said it on the, on NBA draft night that he was the first Husker draft pick in 20 years. That
20 freaking years.
That hurt my heart, man.
I knew it was well over a decade, but I didn't realize 99 was the last time we had a guy go in the draft.
Yeah, I wasn't. I mean, we had a pretty good run there for a while, you know, with the Mikey Moores and the Tyronn Lues and the Eric Stricklands of the world. Like that was a pretty solid period for a team that never won an NCAA tournament game. They put together some pretty solid rosters.
And all those guys, they did fairly well in the NBA. I mean, they weren't world beaters, but they, you know, some of them were journeymen. But, you know, they all played decent amount of time throughout their careers. It's not like they were, you know, 2-3 years, it didn't work out, now I'm going to go be an accountant. You know, they all played well.
Yeah. By the way, do you know who that last NBA draft pick was in 99?
I looked it up. It starts with a V, right?
Yeah, Vincent Hamilton.
That's who it was, yeah.
How old are you, man?
Huh?
How old are you?
37.
Okay, we're in the roughly the same. I'm 35, so, you know, we're in that same period. Yeah, I don't get how Nebraska had Mikey Moore and Vincent Hamilton just, like, back-to-back, like, a couple long, athletic big men just – like on the same roster. That's unreal.
Yeah, it was. Those were good days back then. You know, even those last couple years under Danny Nee, where things weren't quite as good as everybody wanted. But that's when Nebraska ball happened. That's when what we follow as Nebraska ball, that's when that was sparked. That's when that's when Nee basketball was spelled with two E's. For Danny Nee, and you know, we were competing well in the Big 8 and the Big 12. We were beating Kansas every once in a while, mind you. Kansas wasn't nearly as good back then.
Hey, we had more draft picks. We had more draft picks than Kansas this year.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, this is a bad year for KU. That was for sure. But that's for another podcast.
By the way, you know who went. You want to know some of the picks, or well, at least one of the picks who went after Benson Hamilton in that draft?
Who?
Manu Ginobili.
Really?
Yeah, Benson Hamilton went 50th and Ginobili went 57th. I just looked this up. Well, there was a Creighton player in between the two of them too, Rodney Buford.
Buford was a good player.
Do you remember that name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus, these are names I have not thought about for a while. Go.
It's been a minute.
It's been 20 years. Oh man, well, our time has come to a close. I gotta pull this out, but it's been great having you on here. Hopefully we can get you back on.
Awesome.
Yeah, hopefully you enjoyed it, and next time we'll make sure Nate's on here too.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me, man.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.